How are you today? Waking up still? I have a text I want to share with you as we start. You don't have to look it up, but you should know it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. "Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." My ears itch, I need Q-tips. It's an old expression. It means they want to hear what they want to hear. But today I have a message from my heart that may not be flattering to us, and I am burdened with a subject. Should I say it, or should I soften it? Should I preach it, or should I soft pedal it? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need help. We need your grace to pull us forward. We need love to do that. It's the best motivation. And I pray that Jesus would be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. We have about 65 people that we've contacted, not only going door to door, but different friends of church members, family of church members. And we have reached out to 65 people who in one way or another are attending the message or getting the message about our meetings, the prophecy seminar. I talked with one of them, and one of them gave me permission to share with you what I'm about to share with you. But they said, "Please don't give my name." And I said, no, I won't do that. And I'll try to make sure I disguise or make it generic. And this person could be here today. Yeah. We talked about the reason they stopped attending church and about whether they should come back to attending church. Was their reason still valid? They stopped attending church because church became just a social thing. Going to church became unspiritual because the interaction from person to person was only catching up on the news. It was talking about work, talking about family, meeting and greeting one another. There was no longer interaction about spiritual things. There wasn't being discovery about faith, Bible, about Jesus. There was no longer prayer, earnest prayer, for each other. Friends sought each other out, but newcomers, while they were warmly greeted, they were not warmly received into the circle and caught up on the conversation. Do you know how that feels like? You wonder suddenly what happened to me, you know? I was a big hit. Why? Look who's here. And then all of a sudden they're talking about things that I don't know about. If this person came to our church and attended regularly, here's the question: would they find us to be spiritual? Would they find three or four friends to talk to about spiritual things in 3 or 4 weeks? If not, the average person will not attend anymore. It takes about 5 or 6 weeks to make 3 or 4 friends, and if that doesn't happen, they will not return. That's the average person that comes. How would it take place if they were to find friends to talk about spiritual things? How, where would that take place? And my answer is some would take place in the greeting area, but not much. You don't say, "Good morning, how was your week? Did you walk with the Lord and pray?" That's a tough greeting. It's too kind of personal. Not the break in between services. The lobby gets crowded and busy. You don't want to talk in front of people that might over. How about during the worship service? Well, we don't encourage talking back during the sermon, do we? Might be a good thing. Maybe during the potluck. But we often talk about food, and maybe they won't stay that long. You know, they can get a better sermon on the cable television. Often a recorded message is selected, and you can play that at home and be inspired. I believe that Sabbath schools, our Sabbath schools, are the best place for interaction between people. It provides a place for people to ask questions and talk to each other about what's going on in their lives. People can share. We can pray together. We can be spiritual together. I think the Sabbath school is the best place. It can happen around, and if you want to interpret some of my encouragement for what to do when you're greeting and what to do when you're interacting with people at potluck, that's fine. But I think the best person, I want that person to find that we are spiritually minded. How about you? I know that we are spiritually minded. But it's easy for me to get acquainted. I'm up front. Everybody knows my name. They could be here looking for spiritual encouragement. How are they going to get it? I think it's from Sabbath school. Where did Sabbath school come from? You won't find Sabbath, you will find the word Sabbath, but not Sabbath school in the Bible. Where did it come from? Well, let's go back a ways to the Middle Ages when as Christians we thought that the big show was the sacrament. And church was a show. We set up the church, and some people still believe some of this, that in the shape of a cross. And at the head of the cross, up here is the most holy place, and that's the holy place. And from here, we serve the sacrament. And that was done with robes and art and pageantry and music. It was a big show. And then the reformers came along and they said, that's not the big show. That's not right. It's the Word of God. And so we replaced the communion table with the pulpit. This became the altar of offering. And the word, the sacrament, was no longer the bread that you ate, but it was the Word of God, the bread of life. And the preaching was in the language of the people, but Sabbath school didn't happen yet. And as you move on a few years, some of the reformers, Martin Luther, made sermons more interesting for even children could listen. Everybody could listen and understand the Bible stories. The reformers, after Martin Luther, Wycliffe, Calvin, and then came along John Wesley. And there was a revival in England. And then almost Sabbath schools were started. What happened was that there was a man named Robert Raikes in about 1780. I thought he was Methodist, but he could have been just only an Anglican. Well, we'll tie that in pretty soon. He noticed that poverty went hand in hand with boys and girls who came out of the farms and out of the communities around in the Industrial Revolution. They were employed in the mills, the textile mills of England, and they were off on the Lord's Day, was Sunday for them. And everybody thought it was Sunday. Sabbath was discovered later by everybody. He noticed that they were laying around on Sundays, idle, doing nothing, and getting into more and more mischief because their parents weren't around. So he decided to start up a school so that they could learn how to read. Being a businessman, he set up a curriculum and an award system. And being a businessman, he expected a report every so often. How often do businesses have reports? Anybody want to guess? Every 3 months, there would be a report and there would be a quarter. And so the quarter system was invented, or from the business world, it came into the church. And here we have, this is my quarterly. That's what we call it. I remember as a child, we had 13th Sabbath. Do you remember those days? 13th, it sounds so strange to other people, but it was normal, natural. You see, at the end of the quarter, there was a report, and the children who learned their memory verses, they came and gave it. We have a description of what an old Sunday school would be like If you read the book, Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain, chapter 4, no doubt he's exaggerating, but there's a lot of details about what a Sunday schooler, they called it Mark Twain calls it a Sabbath school, a lot of details of what it would be like. Children had to memorize the Apostles' Creed. They had to memorize the books of the Bible. They had to memorize the names of the apostles, all 12 of them. And there were about 2,000, he says 2,000, I think he's exaggerating, but there were memory verses that you had to learn. And if you learned them, if you started doing this, they started giving rewards on a ribbon. And the ribbon was printed with a Bible text. And pretty soon, if you had enough of those ribbons, a certain color of those ribbons, then you could trade them in for your very own Bible and get that free. The bribery system. The Methodists from England took that system and made it their own. About one-third of the Seventh-day Adventist Church was founded by people who came from the Methodist Church. Oh, the Methodists, they had a system for everything. They had a way to have a meeting where you could fellowship with each other. And you would ask questions one to another. How was your week? Did you face any temptation? Did you overcome? Did you read your Bible and pray? And they would go around the circle and everybody would have to respond and talk about their spiritual life. And so the Methodists did that. In fact, they first began by calling it a Bible club, but pretty soon people laughed at them and said that they were Bible moths. Because like a moth to the flame, these people would flutter around the Bible. One of them. They also made fun of them because of their extreme list of things to do, their organization. And so they've got a method for everything. They're Methodists. And John Wesley, being a smart guy, says, well, if they're going to make fun of us for it, they're right. Let's take on that name. I'm glad they became known as Methodists instead of Bible moths. But there you have it. That came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And that lasted for many years because, believe it or not, people back then don't have itching ears like we do today. People back then were more able to recognize the Bible authority of the church and its leaders, and they would do what they were instructed to do, if it was godly instruction. What happened? People got together, they were on time, they attended, they studied their lesson, they came prepared to talk about it, and they would. I remember as a boy growing up, getting ribbons, they were cut out of construction paper, and they had the Bible text written, and if I memorized all 13 of them during the week, then I could stand up in 13th Sabbath, and some of us repeated all the books of the Bible in order by memory. And some of us gave reports and songs. There was mission stories. And we knew what was happening in the mission field. But guess what? More and more people today are independent. We like to vote on things. If we don't like something, we vote with our feet. It used to be that you could be assigned to a Sabbath school class. Not anymore. You try that in the church today. See what happens. People will rebel. The olden days, it was like clockwork. But somewhere along the line, we should ask the question, is the Sabbath school program biblical? And what should it be like? Is it biblical? Could you please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's a description of the early church after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it shows that there are two phases to the Christian ministry. Two separate and distinct ways of going about it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Are you there? Say amen. Okay. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Folks, if our anonymous person attended that church, would they find that they were spiritually minded? I think so. Did they talk about Jesus? I think so. Did they relate their own life to the life and the teachings of Christ? Yes. Take a look, follow your eyes down to verse 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want to see people added. You see, there are two things as you start turning to the Gospel of Mark. Yes, I want you to turn there. Gospel of Mark. Chapter 6, on your way there, I want to observe that there are two formats for Christian education. One is public, that's what we're doing now, a worship, a teaching, a public teaching, where one person speaks and everybody listens. And then there's a private instruction where we look at each other and ask questions and talk. That's in Acts chapter 6, verse 30. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It says there, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus took them away, just like we're going to do in a few minutes. We're going to break up this meeting. We're going to go to separate places where it's quiet. We can talk with each other. They went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them, ran on foot from all towns, and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. There you go. Private meeting, public meeting. Two ways. Sabbath school is a biblical program. What can we do to make Sabbath school a place to grow and connect spiritually? Now, I think we can do better as teachers, and this is not for the teachers. What can we do to make church a place to connect and grow spiritually? That's for all of us. Let me ask you a question. Do you come to church to be fed or to feed? There's a big difference. My wife calls me for dinner, and I go to the table to be fed. How does she feed me? She puts it on the table. She does not put it in my mouth. That would be weird. Okay? I know once in a while it looks romantic or something to blindfold and feed them chocolate cake or something. I don't want to try that. No, thank you. Look, folks, your church to eat, and some of it is served, but taking it and putting it inside, that's your work. We do our work as teachers and preachers, but we all do the work of taking it and putting it inside. If we're going to have a spiritual atmosphere where a person coming to our church, and we're inviting all 65 of our guests, some are coming already, we're inviting them, of course, to attend church. We want it to be spiritual. How? How can we do it? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. There's a spiritual principle there. I want them to find us spiritual. I want us to be comfortable about spiritual things. I want people to find three or four friends that they can know by name and know their need and pray for them and be prayed for. How long would it take? Matthew 4, 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net in the lake. They were fishermen. Come, follow me, said Jesus, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Folks, there's a spiritual principle here. If we're going to grow spiritually, we have to leave our nets. We have to leave the things that entangle us. The things, not only were the nets for catching fish, but they were also catching fishermen. And those fishermen were caught up in their nets. Later it says two more disciples, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they had to leave the boats and their father. They were caught up in their life. And how many of us are caught up in our lives? Folks, it's not easy for me to talk about. It's hard. But these were disciples, and they were disciplined, right? Are you with me? They devoted themselves. We have an attendance of about 250 total in early service, that's us right now, and in later service. You add the numbers together, it's about 250. You add the numbers of people that are in Sabbath school, both the children's division and the adults, and we have a total of a little more than 150. 100 less people, roughly, don't attend Sabbath school. Now, I'm not mad. I'm the nicest guy I know. I want to be very gentle and tender. And if somebody has a reason, I get it. I understand. I know what it's like to make children get ready on time. I know what it's like to fight traffic. I know what it's like to set the alarm. I know what it's like when it's not as important as work and you get paid. I know that I'm here on time because I'm paid to be here on time. I get it. But I want to point out, I have to point out, that we're not on time for Sabbath school. We don't study the lesson ahead of time. Children especially should memorize the text and be taught in the homes the Sabbath school lesson. And I think we need to repent. When I grew up, the pulpit we grew up in church with, I have a picture of it in my office. It was made out of wood. Had a little piece here so the light could be hidden and shine on the Bible. On the front side it said, "Thus saith the Lord." Once in a while, when you got around back to the back side of the pulpit, on the inside of that piece of wood, they carved something for the preacher. It said there, "Preach the word." Preach the word. And I want to be nice, and I want to be kind, but I have to say that I think Sabbath school is more important than we're letting it be in our lives. And we should do better. Jesus said to love one another. There's one text that I'd like you to look at. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians is a little book. In fact, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those are after Romans. So just follow along. If you go to the Corinthians, that's a little too far. Isn't it? No, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. If you look it up, the Apostle Paul and others, Peter and James and John, they constantly use a phrase when they're writing to the church, and the phrase is one another. We are to be in harmony with one another, love one another, instruct, be united, serve one another, patient, kind, and forgiving toward one another, submit, encourage, build up, spur on toward love and good deeds toward one another, sympathetic toward one another, compassionate, and have fellowship. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart towards God." You can be saying right now, "Yeah, teacher, pastor, you're right." But sometimes the teacher is boring. I get that. Sometimes I don't intend to. I do my best. But sometimes my best efforts fall short. When that happens, I think I've been rescued, and you can help. Just raise your hand and say, I have a question. Oh, that'll rescue anything boring. Councils of Sabbath School. Councils on Sabbath School Work, the entire title. It is not the best plan for teachers to do all the talking, but they should draw out the class to tell what they know. And sometimes we don't know. Turn, please, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 1. What should we do to make this place a spiritual place where we can talk with each other, grow spiritually, encourage one another, and not stay home and isolated? John chapter 9, verse 1. The apostles knew that it was important. They knew that it was vital to encourage one another. They knew that's what Jesus did, and they shared with each other what they needed to know. John chapter 9, verse 1, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Sometimes the disciples would ask the oddest questions. And the first category of questions were their need to know. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? They discussed it. Who can hear this saying? It's hard. They talked about it. Who is this man, Jesus? And sometimes they came to him and said, teach us to pray. And other times they said, what about divorce? They talked about the issues that mattered to them in their living. They try to get their life and hold it up to the gospel light and say, does it match up? Don't wait for the teacher to bring up the subjects. Raise your hand. Another way is to raise your hand and just get personal. Share your struggle. What's going on in your heart? Flip through to John 14. You're in the Gospel of John. Turn to 14. John 14, verse 5. John 14, verse 5. There's a very intimate discussion. Two of the disciples ask questions. There's a Jewish rabbi. It's an old story. A Jewish teaching story, I guess. And the student said, Rabbi, why do you always ask questions? And the rabbi said, why? Is there something wrong with that? You got to think about it, I guess. It was another question. All right, turn to John 14, verse 5. Thomas has a question. Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 8, Philip said, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? I've looked through the Gospels. I've looked for the question marks and the comments of the disciples. It helps to have a red letter edition. And they've asked some raw questions. How can I be saved? What benefit is there in this for me? I don't get it, Jesus. And another time, I think I really messed up. I rebuked somebody. I don't know if I did the right thing. What do you think? Some of the things that they bring up are personal, intimate, and it takes guts. But I think we need to do it. I think we need to look at each other in our Sabbath school classes and say, I've had a rough week. I'm not sure I did the right thing with my kids, or I'm mad at myself about the boss, or something happened. I need prayer. Can we pray about it? I'm concerned about. Let them know. And have a prayer together. Have you ever been to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting? I would have no reason to go. I don't like drinking. Saw my dad get tipsy once. Ooh, it was embarrassing. But in church, I had two people coming who had been alcoholics. They just started coming when they were released from rehabilitation. And they asked if they could come, even though they were alcoholics and they didn't have nice clothes. What do you think I said? Well, of course. You're most welcome. And they found this to be a spiritual place. And they stayed dry for one complete year. So at the end of the year, they had a celebration. They called it a caking. A caking. They baked a cake. It had nothing to do with makeup. So they had a big celebration, and their relatives were supposed to bake a cake, and they went over to this meeting that was a special meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people were there, and they had a regular meeting. Every time somebody gets up in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say, "Hi, my name is Albert, and I'm an alcoholic." And everybody says, "Hi, Albert." Every person up front says their name and says they're an alcoholic. And they began to share their stories. Stories of loss and tragedy. They lost their families. They'd lost their jobs. They lost their self-respect. They went out to birthday and the waiter said, "It's your birthday. Oh, free drink on the house." And the man started crying, "I can't have it. Buddy, please. Hey, it's all right. Just a drink." "No, no, you don't understand. I can't drink." He told his story. Pretty soon, tears started flowing down my cheeks. "Why can't our church be like that?" Oh, not this church. It was 25 years ago. But I began to cry. That's what it's like when God helps you. And they said so. All of them said so. Oh, some of them said higher power, but most of them just said God. God had given them the victory, and they were willing to share what losers they had been and what victory there is in Jesus. And they were talking about it. Well, like I say, I cried. We've got the power of God here. We know and confess Jesus. The disciples asked questions. "Will you join me in making sure our church family is a spiritual place?" There's a song, I'm trying to remember all the words. "Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Will you join me in making sure that our church family is a spiritual place? I love Jesus and what He's done for me. I want you to come and find Jesus here and help and healing. Will you join me in Sabbath school?" Let's pray. Father, we want to do more. We want to do better. We want the stranger among us, the old timer, we want all of us. We need your help for this. We need to be brave enough to bring up our own need, our own growth, our own struggle, and victory. We need to share what you've done. So, Father, give us that courage to talk about Jesus. In Jesus' name.